the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, there's an old story about a captain in the Navy who had been out in a battleship doing maneuvers out at sea, and as he was returning home, the weather was bad. It was foggy, rainy, a heavy mist. And it came to his attention that there was a light ahead of him, and it seemed to be on a collision course with his ship. So he told his signalmen to contact that ship and tell them to change their course 20 degrees to the east. The signalmen came back and said they responded that we should change our course 20 degrees to the west. The captain said, "Inform them that I am a captain in the United States Navy, and he needs to change his course." The messenger came back and said he responded by saying that he was a seaman second class and we need to change our course. The captain was furious that somebody of such a low rank should tell him what to do, or presume that they could tell him what to do. So he told the signalman, "Tell them that we are a battleship and he needs to change his course." The signalman came back and said, "He informs me, sir, that he is a lighthouse." Sometimes we get put in our place, don't we? We live in a society, we live in a time where we're told very often that we're special. We're told very often that we are very important people, especially by somebody who's trying to sell you something. And we are, after a fashion. But as Christians, we are taught, we are expected to be humble. We are reminded often that we are meant by God to be servants. John chapter 13 tells the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This happened in the upper room just before the Last Supper. In John chapter 13, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash, you have no part with me." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You see, in these times, foot washing was a thing that was done by the lowest servant. The lowest servant did this. And here we have this example where Jesus, who is the teacher, Jesus, who is the master, Jesus, who is the Son of God, is doing the work of the lowest servant, the lowest servant, to set for us an example. And don't you just love Simon Peter? He wants more. "Not just my feet, Lord." And it's also kind of funny, because if we were to continue in this story, this example of people being told, you need to place yourself in this lowly position. You need to be the servant. You need to be humble. The next thing that happens is the disciples start arguing about which one of them is most important, which one of them is the best. It's hard sometimes to remember to be humble. It's hard for us sometimes to remember that God intends for us to serve. God intends for us to be blessings to other people. And as I say, we live in a world where we're told we're special. We're told that we're important. When I was working at the bank, one of the things I hated the most about the job was every year when our annual review would come along, we would have to sit with our manager and we were expected to present a list of all the wonderful things we had done during the year as part of our job. We were supposed to keep track of these things. We were supposed to tell our manager how wonderful we were. Now, I had done some things that should probably be on the list, but you know, I never really kept track of them because as far as I was concerned, I was doing my job. And I would think that a good manager would notice when you're doing a good job and not have to be told, oh, by the way, I did my job today. But again, we're told that we need to be excellent. We're told that we need to be the best. We're told that people should be serving us. And sadly, this message doesn't even reach some people in churches. I have a friend who was a couple of years ago was on vacation. And Sunday came along and she decided that, well, it's Sunday, I better go to church. So she found the church that was closest to the hotel she was staying at. And she found out what time their service was. And she went to the church. And she said the first thing she noticed in this church was that there was no cross. And I've kind of noticed that in some churches today as well. Some people in modern churches, some younger people seem to be intimidated by the cross. So that there are churches out there that don't have crosses visible in them. I guess that's kind of understandable. But then about halfway through the service, she noticed that there was a great big framed portrait of the pastor on the altar. A big framed picture of the pastor. You could see very clearly who it was, even from way in the back of the church. And when the church was over, as happens so often in churches, the pastor was at the back door saying hello to people and, you know, giving them a little blessing as they go out. And she was on her way out and she shook hands with the pastor and she said, I couldn't help but notice there was a big picture of you on the altar. What's that about? He said to her, well, this is my church. His church. It's God's church. When I had announced to Pastor Tom that I was interested in becoming a pastor, he decided that there were some things I needed to do before he gave any kind of approval. And one of the things he asked me to do was to attend a number of funerals, to help him out with a number of funerals. He's the pastor who gets a lot of calls from people who don't have churches, that they need a pastor for a funeral. This man doesn't have a church, but they need a pastor. And he was getting ready for one of these funerals, and he said to me, I made a bulletin. Would you please go into the church office and make copies of the bulletin for me? Run off copies of the bulletin. Okay, I can do that. So I went and did that. I came back and handed them to him, and I thought this was kind of curious. He said, if you hadn't done that, I would never approve of you being a pastor. Something as simple as making bulletins. What's wrong with that? He says, there are a number of people who think that they're above that. There are people above that. There was a sign up in one of the churches where we used to be, a sign up in the fellowship hall. It said, volunteers don't get paid, not because they're worthless, but because they're priceless. That's a nice little sentiment, isn't it? Volunteers are priceless. Well, the thing is, there's a difference between a volunteer and a servant. I've been in situations where I've seen people will volunteer for certain activities and they'll get there and whoever's in charge will say, okay, I need you to do this. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance where you're like trying to manage volunteers, but some of them will say, I don't want to do that. I came here to do this. I want to do this thing. I don't want to sweep the floor. I want to collect the tickets. I don't want to set up the chairs. I want to turn the light on or whatever. You see, you get that situation with volunteers sometimes, but a servant will show up and they're humble. Oh, you need somebody to set up the chairs? I'll set up the chairs. You need somebody to sweep the floor? I'll sweep the floor. It doesn't matter. A servant is humble. A servant will do what they're asked. A servant will do what's expected. A servant will do what needs to be done. And we need to remember that. Sometimes the church is the same way. You see, God sends us places. He asks us to do things. And we need to have the attitude that of, yes, Lord. We need to have the attitude of, here I am, send me. When the prophet Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to go. He had other ideas. I think we've all kind of been that way. I remember once Robin and I were at a service where a friend of ours was doing a presentation on prison ministry. And I remember very specifically just before he was getting started, because I had heard this presentation a few times from a few other people. And I'd had some of these guys talk to me about it, saying, you should do this prison ministry. You'd really enjoy it. It's a really worthwhile thing. I remember nudging Robin beforehand and saying to her, I ain't doing prison ministry. And when he was done with his presentation, it was so moving. It was so touching. I remember Robin poking me and saying, you're doing prison ministry, aren't you? Yes. Someone once said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. Now I keep saying, Lord, I don't want to go on a mission trip to Virginia Beach. I haven't been called to a mission trip in Virginia Beach yet. I'm ready to go when he sends me, wherever he sends me. There are people we are called to speak with. There are people we are called to meet with. And sometimes they are the kinds of people that nobody else wants to talk to. Sometimes they're the kinds of people that we don't really want to talk to. But I tell you, if the Lord is sending you to them, and you will know, you'd best go. You'd best do that talking. You'd best do that meeting. You'd best do that service that he calls you to. He himself washed the feet of the students. Teacher washed their feet. The master washed their feet. And as we prepare today to wash one another's feet, we're not doing that. It was worth saying, though, to see some of the looks on your faces. And it's really a shame, too, kind of, because foot washing is really such a beautiful, can be such a beautiful thing, but it's so difficult to do in church. It's so difficult to do in church. I know because some of the ladies are wearing stockings, and sometimes it's hard for us to get our shoes on and off. But I know in this prison ministry we do, one of the last things we do before we go into the prison is we wash one another's feet as this act of service, to remind us to be humble as we're going in, to remind us that we're servants of God. And I know we're getting ready to go into prison in a couple of months. And the subject in our training, the subject of foot washing came up just yesterday. And I don't think that the gentleman that I was talking to knew that we were going to be doing a foot washing service, but the subject of foot washing came up, and he said, oh, we don't wash feet in our church. I'm a Presbyterian. I guess that was reason enough not to wash feet. He's going to be in for a surprise when somebody... I'm going to try really hard to sit next to him so I can wash his feet. But it's hard. It's even hard for us, like the disciples, like it was for the disciples. It's hard for us sometimes to receive that service too, isn't it? Because it can kind of go the other way. Sometimes we might be so busy being the servant, it's hard for us to be served. And sometimes we need to be. I have a friend who underwent surgery very recently, and he is so eager to get back to work, but his doctor told him that he needs to stay off his feet for at least 4 weeks. He had like major abdominal surgery. He needs to stay off his feet for at least 4 weeks, and he wants so desperately to get back to work. He wants so desperately to get back to be up and moving and playing with his grandkids and doing all these things that stuff's just going to get worse if he doesn't rest. And sometimes we need to rest. Sometimes we need to be served. There's that season in our lives. You know, again, as Christians, we like to be the blessing. God calls us to be a blessing to people. But you know, sometimes we can be a blessing to other people by letting them bless us. You know how good it feels to serve? For those of you who have had an opportunity to do a marvelous job of serving someone, it feels good. It's a blessing to be served. And you know what? Sometimes it's good for us to let somebody serve us. It's good for us to let people do good things for us because they get blessed for that, just like we get blessed when we have done that. We need to be humble and receive that. In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus reminds us, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It is humbling for us also to be reminded of how difficult it is to do things. And there are a lot of things that we can't do on our own. But when God calls us to service, He prepares us. He enables us to do the things that he calls us to. And again, it's important for us to remember that. When I was initially called into ministry, I was just a teenager. And I remember going to the pastor at my church at the time and telling him I was interested in becoming a minister and what is it I need to do. And he said, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give you a personality test. Because that's what they do. So I took the personality test and he's going over the scores for it. And he said, I remember him saying to me, well, according to this test, you don't have the personality to be a pastor. I was heartbroken. But he said, don't worry about it, neither do I. We're both introverts. We're both quiet. We're both the kind of keep to ourselves kind of people. But I soon found out he was right. I really don't have the personality to be a pastor. I got to college in the pre-seminary program, and one of the first things I did was fail public speaking. I decided, that's it, I'm done. I can't speak in public, I shouldn't be in the pulpit. So I quit. And it wasn't until years later that I learned this lesson that God can do it. God can do these things, I cannot. When I was working at the bank a few years ago, this same supervisor who expected me to blow my own trumpet asked me to give a presentation on a particular process that I did at the bank. And so I was in a conference room with about a dozen people that I knew pretty well, talking to them about this process I did. It took about half an hour. When I was done, everybody left. And this manager came up to me and she said, I understand that you're a pastor in a church. I said, yeah. She said, do you ever get to preach? I said, yeah, every week. Every week. Does anyone ever come back a second time? It was terrible. My presentation was terrible because I was talking about a stupid bank thing. If I had had the opportunity to stand up in front of the same dozen people and present them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I guarantee it would have gone better. See, I can't stand here in front of you people and talk about any old thing unless God has his hand upon me, unless God is leading me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Nothing of any worth, anyway. I can't stand here without being nervous. I can't stand here without stuttering and stammering and making absolutely no sense. Granted, I still occasionally forget what I'm going to say or forget what I intended to say. Maybe that's for the best. But it is humbling to remember, and I'm always reminded of the fact, I'm not as great as I'd like to be. I'm not as great as I want to be. But I'm a servant, and I do my job. We should all be reminded that we are servants. We should all be reminded that we have a job to do. God will send us where he wants us to go. That way will be clear. It's up to us to go without argument. It's up to us to do what he would have us do. Come quietly. Please.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is a good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word, I think, is humility. We need to remember to be humble as we serve. We need to remember to go where God would have us go, to do what God would have us do. We're not always good at that. I'm not always good at that. The last time I served on one of these prison weekends, one of the things we do is we write letters of encouragement to the residents. If you've been here long enough, I've pitched having this done, and I'm going to give the pitch for that next week. But the last time I went, I had written my 24 letters, and as I finished the last one of them, I very clearly heard God tell me, now write one in Spanish. Well, I don't speak Spanish. I don't know how I'm supposed to write a letter in Spanish, so I didn't. And here we get to the weekend, and there's one of the men in there whose English is not so good. It would have been a real blessing to him to have received the letter in Spanish, the letter I was told to write, but I didn't. Well, as I'm preparing to go in this time, I'm going to write a couple letters in Spanish, just in case. And you know, I had mentioned this story to a friend of mine who's also going in, and he said, that's a good idea. I'm going to write some in Spanish too. He said, I don't know Spanish, but you know what? I have a friend who does, and he's a heathen. I'm going to get him to translate the letter for me, and he's going to hear the gospel whether he likes it or not. Now, I don't speak Spanish, but I'm reminded that I have a heathen friend who does, and he's going to hear the gospel whether he likes it or not, too. It's good for us to go where we're sent. It's good for us to do what we're told. This service is over. Your service may now begin, dear servants of God. Go from this place humbly and be blessed. Amen.